to Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back to the second hour of Marriage Beyond the Vows. Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the even when you don't see the whole staircase. Martin Luther King Jr. And we are talking and honoring Martin Luther King and his legacy about having a dream. So we're talking about the dream relationship. What is your dream relationship? Give us a call, 855-454-5905. Juanita has been waiting patiently. She's calling in from the Garden State. Good morning, Juanita. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
My comment was based off of Octavia, but then I heard, as I was waiting on the phone, I heard somebody else talking, and it was just like, wow. And they was, you know, giving their testimony about 1 Peter chapter 3 and standing on it with their husband.
And she said to call her sister 1 Peter 3. That's what she said.
Sister 1 Peter 3, yes.
All right. So what is your comment or even your thoughts about those callers, Octavia, and also our sister, 1 Peter 3.
Yeah, so my thoughts and my comments was based off of, okay, I felt what Octavia was saying, and I really did believe, you know, I did everything that I could do with my husband. I don't really know her testimony, but my testimony is, like, my husband, he's unsaved. When we got married, I just had got saved, and we're married, and he don't live in my house anymore.
Wow.
For the last year, he hasn't been here. He's actually, I found out it was, you know, another woman involved last year. And recently, probably like 2 weeks ago, I did tell him, because I'm ready. I'm so ready to get a divorce because I believe that I deserve so much better than this. And I've been through a whole lot last year. But my thing was, I was speaking to my girlfriend, and she was like, well, God told me to tell you, like, is this you or is this him? Is this God? And I'm like, okay, I know it's not God because I don't really feel it in my heart. I don't feel like I believe that I've done everything that I could do for is with my husband. I have prayed about the situation and still praying for him and our marriage as well because I really do love him. But it's like, when is enough enough? When do you actually believe that or know that you've really done everything that you could do for your marriage? And I do try to stand on that. I know that the unsaved husband is sanctified through the saved wife.
Absolutely.
So,
well, let me ask you this, Juanita, a few things. So you're saying you were saved right around the beginning of your marriage. Was this before you got married or right after?
I got saved in September, and then we got married like that December, and then I found out he was cheating.
Okay. No, but just pause for a minute. So you at that point, I mean, whatever happened, you know, without, you know, we don't have a lot of time to get into what led to that. Obviously, God working led you to seek out a relationship with God, but you still had this relationship with a man who was not a Christian and didn't have this relationship with God. And yet you still married him. You know, you were saved in September, but you married in December. Now, what did you think about those 2 months in between, not knowing that now you had this new found love, this new relationship with God, but you still had this other relationship that where God was not the priority? Why did you marry him? You know, the Bible makes it very clear that we shouldn't be yoked with unbelievers.
Yeah, well, I really thought that this was my dream husband. At that time, we was together for 5 years, and no problems. Everything was perfect in my eyes. You know, we didn't have any drama, any commotion.
Nothing. I got you.
So it was like, once I did get saved, I'm like, okay, I'm sitting here, and I need to get married. So that was kind of my thought. Like, I need to get married. I'm sitting, you know, sitting here, and I'm listening to the pastor, and he's talking about fornication and everything. So I was praying. You know, before we had even got married, I was praying and I was asking God if this was the man for me to marry, you know, change his heart, because he didn't believe that we should even be married. You know, 5 years is just a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to, you know, that's how his feelings was before. So once God changed his heart, I felt as though, okay, this is my husband. Like, we're doing this, because he actually came to me like, okay, let's get married. And I was just praying for 2 months straight, and he changed his heart. So I'm like, I guess that's it. You know, I didn't really know the seriousness in it, and I married him. And then a couple months later, I found out he was cheating the whole entire 5 years.
Wow.
That we was together. So okay. It's like, and then I still try to, you know, be with him and pray with him and, you know, all of these things, but he don't pray. You know, anytime I say anything about the Bible, it's like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Or
I got you. So let me just interject here, Juanita. And I think that's the mistake 101, right? You got married out of guilt. You knew that the relationship was wrong. You were fornicating. You were in sin. And you knew, because you had this relationship, this newly, I would say, newly birthed relationship. You're sitting there, you know, as an infant listening to God's word, getting convicted. No, okay, I got to make this right. I got to repent. I mean, I have a lot more to say about that. Honestly, we don't have the time. But I think that's the very first mistake, is not having that solid foundation. That's something we can't even really focus on, because that was done. However, you had, and not just you, but several people had mentioned, you know, did they really do everything that they could? And I want to just spend a little time talking about that, Juanita, because I think that's the most important part, right? At this point, you're married. You know, God hates divorce. He, you know, the devil gets the victory. No one wins in this case. And so are you doing everything you can? And is God really saying that it's okay to move on? Is he your husband right now? Is he presently, you're saying he's out of the house. Is he in that other relationship that you said he's had for the last 5 years? Is he still presently involved in that affair?
No, he's not in that relationship. He's in another relationship.
Oh, he's in another relationship. Okay, so is he living with someone else?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, he's living with someone else now, and he left on his own, right? He decided to leave, or did you put him out?
I put him out.
Okay. Well, good for you. I mean, number one, you know, the Bible says that God is a jealous God. He expects us to be the same way. We're created in his image. That's having boundaries. That's saying, listen, I'm not going to live with you and share you with someone else. So good for you. I want you to know that was great. So is he remorseful? Is he trying to change? It doesn't sound like, I mean, if he's still with someone else. And
yeah,
so what is your communication?
Because he's like, oh, I want to be with you. I want to be married, but you still got somebody living in your house. So it's
okay,
like,
good, good. Well, let's stop there, too. Do you have children together?
Yes.
Okay. And how is he as a father? Is he involved in the children's lives?
No.
Okay, he's not. So he's not being a good father. He's not being a man of his word. I think Juanita is very clear. His actions speak louder than his words. It doesn't matter what he tells you. He could tell you that he loves you, that he wants to be with you. Look what his actions are saying. He's not being a good father. He's being a lousy father. He's not being a husband. He's being a lousy husband because he's living with someone else. His actions are speaking louder, and that's what you really need to listen to. Forget what he says. You can't trust this man. He lied to you about having an affair for 5 years. He's lying right now. And so I know what your friends are saying, make sure you've done everything. Doing everything is your part, but he's not doing his part. And in a marriage, it takes two. It really does. So I think it's very clear what his decision is and what he's willing or not willing to do. And unless there's a radical change there, unless he moves out, unless he says, listen, I want to be a father to my children, I think you need to listen to his actions and not his words.
Yes.
Does that help you? I mean, just to really get in perspective,
don't
believe the hype, you know, listen to his actions.
Yes. And that's definitely what I believe. You know, I'm like, this year, divorce, you know, I had the papers. I gave them to him last year. He won't sign them. He refused to sign them. It's like back and forth. And,
he's being, you know, a deadbeat. Yeah.
And I mean, but God definitely, you know, for throughout this year, for all the listeners, like, God is awesome. He's amazing. You know, I really depended on this man financially, and God just changed everything.
Amen.
I was able to get my bachelor's degree last year. I finished in December. I'm working on my master's now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, I don't know what to do as far as this situation. My daughter is going through a lot of changes. She's 9. You know, this man been in this house forever, and she's having problems at school.
Wow.
I'm telling him. he's not still not doing anything. So it's like, when I know, as far as him being a father and a husband, he's not doing nothing for that anything.
So I want to get a divorce. Here's the thing, and I think you honestly, you know, I think you're doing the right thing. You're getting your life together. You're moving on. I mean, look, I think sometimes women take pride in, I got this. I mean, no, you wanted to work together with your husband. He didn't give you a choice. I love what you said about God being awesome and he's good. He always is. Just because your husband is being a jerk and he's not being what he needs to be, it doesn't change the fact that God is amazing and God is good. So you stand firm. I mean, God has your back. You're doing something about it. You're not just sitting back, moping, depressed. I think you're heading in the right direction. Keep doing what you're doing, my sister. That's great.
Thank you so much. Just confirmation. Thank you.
Thank you, Juanita. We do appreciate it. All right. We appreciate your call. You know, when we return, we're going to go to Tanya, who's calling, and he's talking about how many women, or they want, women want to get married, but they're not willing to show who they really are, meaning that they don't put, you know, they put a front. They're not honest about it, and then it backfires. So we're going to have that conversation when we return. If you've not done this already, we do invite you to call us in at 855-454-5905. We'll be right back after these breaks.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. This is our final segment of Marriage Beyond the Vows. If you're just tuning in, I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, and I'm here with my co-host of the day, Brother Will. Brother Will, say hi.
Now, this has been a really interesting show. You know, I think sometimes when we think about dreams, we lose sight of there's hope. Mm. I mean, a dream is really about hope and what can happen in the future. You know, our present situations, you know, sometimes we get really, really focused on the here and now and how things look now. And God wants us to dream because he wants us to have hope.
Absolutely.
That things can change, that he has the ability to change any situation. But if we lose sight of the future, if we lose sight of the hope that, hey, you know, if I keep persevering, if I keep doing what I need to do and changing and being who I need to be, then the future will be different. Not only that it can be different, but it will be different. And that's really the goal of the dream is to make things different. And that's what Dr. King was all about. He's like, this is the way things are now. But if we persevere, if we hope and we dream, the future will be different.
Amen. Amen. I love that. I love that so much. And, you know, of course, we are honoring not just Martin Luther King, but his whole legacy that he left. And, of course, this is the holiday weekend, and people use this time, and especially tomorrow, for a day of service. So, you know, we want to do that. We are talking about having a dream relationship. And I want to share something that he said. He said, nothing in the world is more dangerous than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so, you know, in relationships, this is so true as well. You know, what are we bringing to the table? You know, are we just ignorant? You know, are we just deciding to be stupid? Or are we going to God for his wisdom so that we can do what's right? If you've not done this already, we do invite you to call us at 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We also invite you to follow us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/beyondthevows and hit the like button. Get in on the conversation. Right before the break, we posted a deadbeat man. He's living with another woman, doesn't visit his kids. Should she leave him? And of course, some of you began posting there. And Rosita says, yes. And Deborah says, that shouldn't even be a serious question. If a man leaves his blood behind, he won't treat a woman any better. And on, we have many other conversations going on. If you have a question or comment, you can visit us on facebook.com/beyondthevows. If you're just tuning in, this is Marcos Mercado, and this is Marriage Beyond the Vows. Let's go to Tanya, who's been waiting patiently. She's calling in from New Jersey. Good morning, Tanya. You're live on the air with praise.
Good morning, Marco. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Yeah, we're doing well. We're talking about dreaming and having the dream relationship, or even what God's dream is for our relationship. So let's talk a little bit here. What is your comment or question for us today?
Well, my comment is my dream relationship, first of all, is a man who is willing to pray with me about all concerns, whether those are his concerns or my concerns. And one of my comments is that we women always feel as though we're ready to be married, but a lot of times we're not, because we have closer relationships with our girlfriends or our sisters or cousins or something like that than we are willing to have with a man. We're not always willing to share with a man our deepest concerns, our deepest dreams. And for me, the perfect relationship, the dream relationship, is to have someone I can be closer to than I am to my own sister or my best girlfriend or something like that.
Wow. And you know, that's a great point. You know, every year here in the Philadelphia area, we host a huge event. It's our Inspiration and Music Conference. And I host a workshop every year for the last few years since it's in the inception of it. Right. So we've had it every year. It gets bigger and better. We do one for singles. We do the one for marrieds. But you'll be surprised. Even in our marriage workshop, there are a lot of singles that attend because they want to know. They want to learn. Many couples are there trying to get help. And you know, it was so exciting. Last year, we had a couple, get engaged. The guy proposed. He said, listen, he asked me at the beginning of the workshop. He's like, I have this ring. Can I ask her? So it was a great way to kind of end our workshop. But I just want to make sure that we don't miss it. It's coming up. It'll be March the 29th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center, and our workshop will be at 10 in the morning. If you're interested, anybody that's interested, we encourage you and invite you to go to praisephilly.com. But the reason, Tanya, that I even mentioned this, besides the fact that I don't want anyone to miss out on it, is that what you're saying is so true, right? But you got to learn these things. Like for something you said, for example, how a lot of women think they're ready and then they're really not. Like, you don't know that on your own. You need someone to help you to see what it is you need to do to get ready. And I think sometimes the best way to know if you're ready or not is to listen and to other people who already are in a relationship, and they might have made some of these mistakes, or they rushed into it. They're in a relationship prematurely. You know, earlier on, we had a young woman who called and said she got married when she was like 20 or 20 something, early 20s. And now she's having regret, not so much because of her, but because she feels like her husband is very immature. But it sounds like she's lacking that maturity, because one of the things that came out of her mouth was, I've done everything. Well, I don't know. I mean, very few. I don't encounter people who really have done everything. Really? Have you fasted for a month for your relationship? You know, have you sought out counseling? You know, have you, you know, gotten with like, you know, whatever you got to do to get there? Are you praying? Are you submitting to your husband as much as possible? You know, are we really, really doing all those things? So, Tanya, let me ask you this. What is it about you right now you feel like you need to work on in order to be ready?
Well, I am working on being closer to someone than I am to my own blood.
Okay.
I'm working on being able to trust someone with my feelings, with my dreams, with my goals, and then, you know, wanting us to, and also at the same time, I want to be the type of woman that a real man can lean on, because we can often lean on men, but they can't often lean on us.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Are you in a relationship right now?
I'm beginning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's in the very beginning stages, so I'm having to learn how not to fly off at the handle, and also to say things in a more positive way. Like I pray a lot about it, because, you know, I've never been married, so, and I know why now that I've never been married, because no man is, you know, I've never really shared myself with a man. You know, my humor, anything like that, just never really shared.
Yeah.
So I am learning and working on sharing who I am with this person, and it's a little difficult because I've never done it before.
Okay.
But at the same time, I'm putting it in God's hands and trusting God that these are the things He wants me to do.
Absolutely. And, you know, Tanya, my encouragement to you comes from, I want to share two scriptures with you really quickly, if you could write them down, and I'll read them. I'll read them first, and I'll tell you where they are. It says, "The lack of guidance, and for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors." Also, it says, "Surely you need guidance to wage war, and victory is won through many advisors." And that's Proverbs 11:14 and 24, verse 6. And the reason I share these two is because we can't do this alone. I'm so grateful. My wife and I think we're perfect for each other. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect, but we're perfect for each other, meaning that we really do complement one another. I mean, I'm so grateful that she is by my side. And I would have not have known that on my own. As a matter of fact, I tell people all the time, I was blind, but now I see. When I first met my wife, I thought she was cool, but I wasn't really interested. I wasn't searching. I was actually trying to get back with an ex-girlfriend at the time. And my wife was like, you know, we were just great friends. And we led a campus ministry together. So we had very spiritual, you know, very similar spiritual dreams. And we just got along really well, but I didn't see her for me because I was blind, honestly. And it wasn't until a good friend of mine sat me down and said, listen, let's be honest. What are you looking for? And I didn't have a list like something, you know, I wrote down, but I knew in my mind, and I had enough, you know, experience in relationships, even some failed relationships where I knew what I didn't want. And then I started trying to figure out what I wanted. And as I shared with him just a little bit, he was like, that's Amaryllis. Like, you're describing her. And that was the first time that it dawned on me. I was like, why was I so blind? And I think it's because I wasn't even focused on what God has sent my way. And I think people around us are sometimes going to be the best to help us when it comes to relationships, especially if they're objective. People that are spiritual, that trust you, that know you. So that would be my greatest encouragement to you and to everyone else that is searching or starting a relationship, is to allow people who you trust, who can be objective and who are going to be honest, to guide you and to show you something that you may not see.
I do have one particular girlfriend who is a Christian.
Okay.
And who's married. And she, you know, she has been helping me to see more, I guess, of his perspective, like a man's perspective.
Okay. Well, listen to her. Well, listen to her, I think. But
yes,
I encourage you.
I do.
But you know what? The Bible says many advisors, meaning that you need to open yourself up and get more help, because there's just something about having multiple people seeing something that equals victory. That's what the Bible says. Victory is won through many advisors. So,
okay.
Tanya, but thank you. We do appreciate you calling in, and we do appreciate you sharing with us as well. And, you know, we wish you the best.
And have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
I think that's really important, because sometimes we'll find one person who thinks the way we think, and the advice that we're getting is just kind of a confirmation of what we're already thinking. But when you have a lot more people, the odds are you're going to find someone who may not necessarily agree with you, especially if you're not thinking about things correctly or spiritually, that can say, hey, wait, I know this is what so-and-so said, but I just don't see it that way. And the more input you have, you can really start to see, you know, things from a larger view and from a bigger field where you can make a more informed decision. And I think that's really so much what that scripture is about, is really make an informed decision. You know, don't go into decisions, especially one is permanent as marriage.
Oh, absolutely.
Let me get as much information as I possibly can before I even go into these things, rather
absolutely.
Than, hey, I know what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Will. I appreciate you sharing that as well. You know, we're going to change gears just a little bit. We're going to bring in George James. George James is a good friend. He's also a family, marriage and family therapist with the Council for Relationships. Where are you, George? You're there?
Yeah, I'm here, Marcos.
I'm trying to say, hey, you're on the line yet. I didn't hear the click. But all right. So I appreciate your patience and for you, you know, your willingness to call in. You know, we've been having some very interesting conversations. We're talking about having our dream relationship. Obviously, you know, tomorrow, Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday. And a lot of people use that time to remember his legacy, but also to use it as a time to serve. And so we've decided, you know, to talk about, you know, our dreams and God's dream for marriage in our relationship. And something that's come up is that sometimes, you know, couples, especially women, but couples in general, they feel like they're ready, but then they realize they're not ready. Like that they want this dream, but they don't have the foundation to make that dream a reality there yet. They rush into it, or they don't get as much help as they need to. What is your counsel, your advice for those who are not yet married but are hoping to be and have this dream relationship in mind?
You know, I think it's a great topic. And, you know, often what I see, especially with the people that come into my office, is that, you know, at some point, maybe growing up, maybe you have older friends or brothers and sisters, or being in the church, people come up with this ideal of what they think their partner should be. You know, he or she should look like this, they should do that. And they have all this this big checklist, mm-hmm. and they go out trying to search for that checklist. Now, I fully believe that you should have some things on your list of what you're looking for. Is he or she saved? Is he someone that we have compatible characteristics or personality? But sometimes when people get so focused on this dream of all these things on the list, like you were just mentioning about your wife, you can easily just miss the person that's right there next to you and completely bypass that.
And oh, so absolutely.
I've worked with lots of people who have said the person they ended up marrying wasn't the person that was the ideal checklist. They had exactly what they needed and some of the important parts of the checklist, but not everything. So,
well, let me ask you this, though.
I would say to people is that pay attention to your list and don't get too hyper-focused on that list.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Well, so what's the difference between being willing to be flexible on this list and actually compromising and making a devastating mistake? And I know the obvious ones, right? The obvious one, like you said, is someone is a Christian and that's on the top of your checklist, their relationship with God. But then you decide to kind of compromise on that one because they fit everything else. You know, he's tall, dark, handsome, drives a nice car. He has a nice business. I mean, whatever. He has great personality. He makes you feel good, whatever. But you remember that on the top of that list was his relationship with God, which is actually biblical. It's not even an opinion. It's like, if you're a Christian, you should only marry a Christian. I mean, that's what God says. But besides that obvious one, what are some others that people might feel like, wait a minute, am I compromising? I really wanted someone who, you know, was athletic, and this guy is not really into health. I really wanted someone who was out of himself, but this guy's kind of an introvert. I mean, at what point do you feel like I'm really compromising here, or maybe I'm not? Maybe that is the person that I should marry. What do you advise to those that are kind of struggling with wondering if they're compromising or not?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a really great question. And I think one of the ways that you can start to sense that you're compromising is that when you're working extra hard to make that person be a good fit. So someone is really angry and they're jealous and you say, oh, no, that's just how they share their love. Like, people go out of their way to kind of make what is not all that great better.
So you're really deceiving yourself. You're just trying to convince yourself
that
is a fit, and it's obviously not.
Right.
Wow.
And then there are things that you might not be used to or comfortable with. Okay, maybe he or she isn't the size that you're looking for, but are they willing to, or can you work out together, or can you do things, can you do things that are healthier or more active? Or maybe someone is an introvert. Maybe that's something that you can learn and that you can share. Part of connecting with someone is, what are the things that we can give and share with each other? And so I might not be completely become an introvert, but there's things sometimes, maybe I need to sit down and read a book in the house. Or maybe I could take you out and we could go to Six Flags and ride a roller coaster. So there are ways that you can learn how from each other. And if you feel that's possible, then that's different than compromising. That's now something that maybe you didn't pay attention to that you can now learn.
And I think, you know, I have similar convictions and beliefs, and I share that with others. I think also you got to know what you can live with. You know, you got to. I mean, and I'm talking about, this is apart from what God says, right? You can say, well, I can live with a man who's not really a Christian, but he's a good man. No, but that's not what God says. But within the will of God, in terms of an opinion or not, say, well, I can live with that. I mean, that's not that big of a deal. Now, don't lie to yourself and say you can live with something and you know you really can't. For example, there are some women that I've seen, they've compromised in this way. They wanted a man who would really lead them, who was, you know, really ambitious. but the man that they're with, it's really not. He's just, he's carefree, you know, doesn't have a lot of ambition. And so they marry them, and then they get frustrated because they're not, they won't change. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. I knew, I officiated this wedding, and I did some premarital counseling a few years ago. And this this woman is a, you know, a sister, man. You know, the African-American woman that, I mean, she had, you know, her own home. She made things happen. She had her own business. And she, you know, she was from the islands, so she went back and she fell in love and decided to marry a guy that she knew from when they were younger. And he's from the islands. And you know how it is in the islands. George, you're from the islands, right? Your family is. You know, it's like not a care in the world. You know, look, don't worry, be happy kind of attitude. So he didn't even have a driver's license. He moves to the States. And she's like, listen, he needs to get a job right away. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to get a job. But she's like, you need to take the bus. He's like, I don't know the buses. And so it took him like months to get a driver's license. It was driving her crazy. And I said, listen, this is going to be a problem because that's who he is. Like, it's not that he was lazy. He just was very carefree, and she was very driven, and that's been actually a challenge for them.
Yeah.
And so at what point do you say, I can't live with it. This, you know, I love him. He might be nice. She's beautiful, but this is going to be a big problem. I know myself, and I am not going to do well. I'm incredibly meticulous, and this guy is a slob. I don't know if we're going to make it.
Yeah, I think that's really important to ask yourself those questions. One of the things that somebody actually told me during the process of even with my wife and I that really stuck with me and that I share with lots of people is that if this person never changes, would you still marry them? If they stayed the same way, right? Now, like you said, all the other important factors aside, would you be okay with that? Because a lot of times people get into a relationship or even think about marriage thinking that the person will change.
Mm-hmm.
He'll lose 50 pounds. He'll start cleaning up. She won't be as demanding. And the thing is, that's not a guarantee. I mean, it's not a guarantee that the person will change. And if they do change, it might not be in the way that you hope or want.
That's
so
true.
If you can,
he might gain another 50 pounds.
I would be miserable. Then now you need to make a different decision.
That's true. I really do appreciate it. George, we're going to go ahead and take a call. We have Audrey, who is calling in from New Jersey. Good morning, Audrey. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm here. And also Brother Will is co-hosting with me. And now we have George James, who is a marriage and family therapist, who's also on the line. So what is your comment or question for us this morning?
Well, my comment is, when you talked about the dream relationship, I'm thinking in terms of a man who's willing to give his heart
mm-hmm.
to his wife and also handle her heart with care. And I say that because so many times people get married and they get into a routine or it's a convenience
setup.
And, you know, they're not in tune with each other. They're not close. They don't do anything. And then there's nothing going on to protect the relationship or set boundaries.
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, people don't even realize it, that, you know, the person doesn't have, you know, their heart. And I'm thinking about the young lady who was talking about her husband who had been running on her from the very beginning or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so important. I think it's something that my grandmother used to say to me growing up. It's just so important for a man to give a woman his heart.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen, then everything else gets placed first.
That's good. And Audrey, let me just, I want to ask George James. George, did you hear Audrey's question or a comment?
It was a little hard to hear.
Yeah, I know, and I hear a little bit of noise in the back in your background. But bottom line is she's asking, or she's saying that if a man is not willing or able to give his heart to a woman, like really care and handle his wife's heart with care, I want to add to that, and I want to hear what you have to say, where sometimes, you know, we get blinded. We know that, but we misinterpret it. You know, like even you said previously, you try to make it fit, right? You try to take that square peg and make it fit in this round hole because we want it to work so badly. So how do you, is there a way to gauge and know, okay, this guy really is willing to handle my heart with care?
Yeah, you know, that becomes really difficult because, once again, people might make the decision to settle or feel like the relationship is good enough. And that sometimes can be a trap where it's average or it's just okay. It is entitled a relationship, but in all the other ways, you're not really getting your needs and your wants really met. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is how do we communicate that message to this person? How do we let the person know that we need and want more? Sometimes people are really awful about asking for what they want and need, or they go about it in the wrong way. Sometimes it's being able to get an outside help or outside perspective, like you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Other times it's realizing, well, maybe this person just doesn't have that ability or doesn't have that ability with me, mm-hmm. and that I might need to figure out, am I okay with that?
And I tell you,
people don't change unless they have like a serious, significant event in their life that makes them say, you know what,
I
need to be
change.
Different. I can't be introverted so much anymore. I need to speak up and let my partner know how I'm feeling.
And I think that's so true. I know for me, you know, and I'm sure many of us can relate, you know, in life, sometimes we make some bad decisions. You know, you rushed into a big purchase, you know, the car, the house, or you signed a contract, you know, and it was a bad contract. And, you know, maybe you should have gotten some legal advice before signing it, but you didn't. And, you know, later on, you're like, oh, man, in hindsight, man, I really trusted, or I was very optimistic, or I overlooked some obvious things that were red flags, and I just overlooked them. You know, marriage, you can't do that, right? You can't go back and say, oops, I signed this contract for marriage and I realized it wasn't good, and so now I want to change it. You know, it's like, no, you made that decision. So I encourage, and I'm sure you do as well, James, and anyone that has some kind of, you know, spiritual perspective, is, you know, do not be hasty. You know, be careful, be wise. And going to what Audrey is saying there is, you know, make sure that he proves himself. If he is really going to handle his wife's heart with care, if he's not doing it before the marriage, he's not going to do it after. He's not all of a sudden going to change because you signed a piece of paper. And that paper is important, but you signed this. You know, sometimes people, and I've seen this, what women feel like, if we get married, then he'll be faithful. Because he really, you know, the reason he's not faithful, he's not married. He's, you know, if I just show him that we're committed, he's going to be committed. And I mean, I've never seen that be true. If he's not faithful before, unless God changes his life and he just, you know, he repents, he's still going to be unfaithful. So, Audrey, does that help you with, you know, with this discussion?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. And this is a dilemma that I'm struggling with because I basically have concluded that I do not have my husband's heart.
Mm.
And I think it's difficult because we didn't get married until we were like in our 40s. It's my first marriage. This is his third marriage.
Wow.
And his second wife passed.
Okay.
His first wife he got married was very young or whatever.
Okay.
However, our courtship was short. And, you know, he had, you know, good courtship, you know, he's a man of God or whatever. But it's so much that we still have to learn or whatever. And I'm one that I've always been able to, explain or talk about my needs or so forth and so on.
Okay.
However, it's very difficult when, just as you said, some people settle for just a minimum relationship.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I've always liked to do the ultimate.
Okay.
Or want the best. And, you know, he doesn't quite understand it that way. You know, I've been told, you know, I don't need all that.
Yeah, so, I got you. I got you. And I think, Audrey, you know, I really do wish we had more time to talk mm-hmm. about this. But one thing I would encourage you is he is your husband, and there are things you can do to win his heart back. And I think that if you work on you and how you can be the most amazing wife that he can ever have, you know, that you're just amazing. And he's like, you don't need to do all that. Trust me, you do everything you can do. And I'm not saying to do this deliberately, but the moment you fall short, you'll see how important it is. So if you're always cooking the best dinner and then one day you don't, I'm not telling you to go ahead and do that deliberately. But if for some reason you can't, he's going to take note. He's going to be like, what happened? If you're just amazing and affectionate and, you know, are willing to, you know, just make love to your husband anytime. And then all of a sudden one time you can't or you won't, he'll notice. So as much as he's saying, oh, no, I don't need all that. trust me, I mean, no one is foolish like that. I mean, he will notice when you have a good thing and you lose that good thing. Again, I'm not saying that so that you can take that away, but there will be times where you'll fall short. And I hope that that opens up the conversation to say, well, look, that's why this is so important in our relationship. That's why we got to give our entire hearts. All right, Audrey, well, we thank you so much for listening, and we thank you absolutely for calling in this morning. You're welcome, Audrey. George, you're still there, right?
Still here.
George, you know, we are absolutely having a great conversation about the dream relationship. And, you know, dreams get shattered. Some people really want or have very hopeful, high, you know, amazing dreams of grandeur. And then reality sits in, right? Even in who you think is perfect, you're going to quickly find out they're not. And so what is the best way to deal with the disappointment that will come when you marry someone who's not perfect?
Yeah, you know, my pastor has said often, and, you know, I completely believe it's true, is that through time and circumstance, you really get to learn about people, meaning that the longer you spend with someone and the more situations you go through, you really start to see their character and their personality. And sometimes we might not see all of those things until we get married. And the difficulty of that is, how do I keep my spirit up? How do I keep my mind right? And some of those things, you know, the Bible talks a lot about the thoughts that we think and the words that we speak.
Yeah.
And lots of times people get into complaining and speaking negative thoughts about not only their partner, about themselves, about their marriage. And it's, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a place where you can talk and really share those things. But sometimes we have to be mindful of what we are putting in our thoughts and in our spirit, and being able to find ways, how do I keep myself energized? What are the things that I can work on? What are the ways that, okay, this marriage doesn't have this part that I was hoping for, but what does it have?
Absolutely.
And sometimes that's the way that people can, like you were just saying to Audrey, that's the way that sometimes people can turn their relationship around. If the other person completely gives up, it's really hard to come back. But if one person, not that you need to be foolish and not think that and do things that might be hurtful to you or your relationship, but keeping that faith, keeping that belief, keeping those thoughts and those words in a positive way can make a difference. And I've seen it happen, especially if you then decide to go and get some help.
That's great. You know, and Brother Will, who's here co-hosting with me, he stumbled upon something really interesting, and I want him to share this because I know that many who are listening, unfortunately, many of you have done this and fit into this category. So go ahead, Will, share that.
It's a saying I've heard a few times, and it's definitely something I've tried to apply for myself. It says, marry in haste, repent at leisure. That if so many times we get into situations because we're impatient, we're just not willing to wait, to see, to let things develop, that we're in such a rush, we end up compromising on what we believe, what we want, what's actually good for us, because we're just not willing to wait. I have to have it right now. It has to be right now. And that's so much of it a product of our society. We are the instant gratification society, and it permeates everything into our relationships. So many people get married to someone they don't really know. They don't get a whole lot of input because they is like, well, this is what I want and this is what I know, so I'm going for it. And that's a
character flaw, right? And people do it all the time, except that when it has to do with marriage, this is now a decision for the rest of your life. Even if you buy, you get hasty about buying a house. I mean, it's not easy to get rid of a house, but you can still get rid of it. When it comes to a relationship, and if you're trying to be, you know, spiritual and godly about it, you know, now you're, you know, you might even feel stuck. You're like, what do I do now? And that's when I find what you said, George, that sometimes people begin to sing a very depressing tune, like, man, you know, nobody knows my woes, you know, I'm stuck. And it's like, no, you made this decision. Now you got to make the best of this. You can't even blame God, right? Because you made the decision. So,
You know, I fully agree. And in that, sometimes we do need support. We need help to think about it differently, because we can get stuck in our own ways, or we can get stuck in those negative thoughts. And sometimes we need, you know, godly counsel, a good friend, or even, you know, someone outside, a counselor that can help us not get stuck in that place.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, before we go, I do want to remind those to go ahead and visit praisephilly.com because we're already starting to sell tickets for our Inspiration and Music Conference that will be coming up on March the 29th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. We have our workshop, the Marriage Beyond the Vows workshop, along with many others, and then the finale concert. And so the first 1,000 to purchase a ticket to any of our workshops, including the Marriage Beyond the Vows workshop that I'll be hosting, we'll have David and Tamala Mann from Meet the Browns will be there, and many others. George, I know you've been a part of a panel in the past. I'm hoping you'll be with us again. I don't know if we'll be on the panel or not, but you'll be there and just really meeting folks because so many are coming out to be inspired and to get some hope for their relationship. So again,
it's
anyone who's
been a great event in the past, and you know, I enjoyed when I was on the panel and even coming last year to support and be there. And I remember the engagement that you mentioned, and yeah, I'll definitely be there. It's a great event.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we look forward to having you around. We appreciate you calling in and sharing your wisdom and your expertise with many of us. We want to give a special shout out and thank you to Ron, our producer in Charlotte, and Larry Fowler, who is our producer here in Philadelphia. We do want to encourage you, have a great weekend, enjoy, and remember the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Have a blessed day.